So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Mr. Scott and get on with the program as far as the main program. Should we just go ahead and bypass that?
I think we can hold off until Ron arrives, but there are a couple other items here that maybe this meeting today is not really scheduled to set up any items for future agendas, but rather for us to have an opportunity to become versed in some of the topics that will be coming before us at our next special meeting on April the 11th, which we've set up for this purpose. One of the reasons for setting it up for April 11th is that Metro has reached out to us, and as they put it here, the recommendation, I'm working to inform you of a recommendation I'm making to Los Angeles County Metropolitan Transportation Authority Board of Directors. This is from Art Leahy. The recommendation is to issue a notice of intent to amend Measure R by changing the years in which funds may be expended for the purpose of accelerating the construction of the balance of the Measure R program's 12 transit projects and 16 highway projects. Among other things, they have directed that in order to give Council of Governments the opportunity to review the proposed amendment and the project finance acceleration plan prior to their consideration by the board, I have directed staff to offer briefing at your next COG meeting. Because this is a 49-page report, the thought was there's a little more detail in here than we can really handle at a meeting and then act upon. We need to think in advance and have a discussion about what we as a group might be willing to recommend to the board, how we might be able to service the board in their request, and what exactly this means. I'll give you some quick background in that when we had a Measure R forum, Supervisor Yaroslavsky referred to it as the golden age of transportation. Supervisor Antonovich talking about how maybe under Measure R we missed some opportunities, that maybe this time around as we start to reconfigure this, and as you'll hear in a few moments, this time around maybe we can make sure that the funds are more equitably distributed to some of the areas that may have been passed over in the past. Interestingly enough, on the 14th, Supervisor Antonovich, with the assistance of the other supervisors and R. Majari and our chairman, came up with a set of proposals which were immediately adopted, which were adopted yesterday by Metro, and there are a number of issues on that set of proposals which I think are attached to your agenda. Somewhere there's a motion. If you need that, let us know. The idea being that's a perfect foundation for what we've been talking about doing for this region, putting projects on the table. And as Metro said at their previous month's meeting, they were talking about having projects be shelf-ready, so that next time dollars and cents were available to us by whatever means, we would be able to, in this region, and generally speaking, I take a more expansive view of this region as being the whole of North Los Angeles County, although our COG region really extends basically to the northern boundary of Santa Clarita. So the idea here is for us to come through with some meaningful input, have a chance today in a capital format to discuss it, to hear a little bit, and Ron's Sarzanati has graciously joined us here, and we've talked to some extent about how we might be able to do this. But the important thing is for us to take, I think, a reasoned and thoughtful approach at how we respond to Metro's request, and in particular to the Metro CEO, Arthur Leahy's request that the COG weigh in. And if I'm not mistaken, it was Supervisor Antonovich who has been taking a very great interest in having the COG participate in this as a means of getting that geographic equity and hearing from all the regions within the county and not just perhaps focusing on one spot. So I start with that, and Ron, you may want to introduce yourself and pronounce your last name correctly.
My name is Ron Sadotnik. The actually a lot of familiar faces here. I'm the Delaware Metro Highway Program and one of the several officers. And the San Diego Valley area is within my area of responsibility for the highway program.
Take it whatever way you feel most comfortable.
Is it okay for me to just kind of go ahead and dive into the...
Yeah, we better, because we're already into the hour three, okay. So let's get into your presentation.
I'm going to just kind of just do this. Okay. Actually, probably a bit of last year, we started to have a dialogue with spot and also Peter, and you'll understand that there's a need at this cost that trying to kind of maybe form some formalism direction, some approach to further advance the transportation initiative for Greater Houston. And it certainly costs that you should help because of the resources and we're still in the sort of infantry phase. So we offered to provide some approach, and then we started out by using a template that was applied in current ongoing in the South Bay area. And then also, and which I'm going to try to kind of walk through what their thought process is. And it's that sort of like a template that was applied to the cause. As you will see, that the idea is not a new idea. It's really something that, rationally we all understand. Are we just trying to make it in such a way that it is systematic and it's something that cause can start with as an initial step and move forward? Okay, so let's kind of just walk through the presentation. The first slide, and these are, everybody's probably very familiar with this little story, if you've seen that already, is a complete representation of both the transit project as well as the highway project. If you're interested in detail, the last page has the definition of which one is. Yeah. But the next slide, I thought would be interesting to you, is what Caltrans has produced as a congested hotspot within the Los Angeles County area. These are the top congested areas. And then, as you can see in the Clark area, you have, of course, you come not a surprise, 101, 405 interchange, the 101, 140, 170 interchange. Those are the two top congested areas. And also in the vicinity, you have the 405 and around the west end. So I'll just kind of get to the perspective.
Can I just ask a quick question? We all know that the five interchange with the 405 170, there's yet a huge pinch point there.
Yes.
And is there a reason why that's not
sure.
What's the criteria for it?
This is generated by operations based on their data, and then they just compare the delay time at all around Los Angeles County, and then looking at the delay time and the amount of queue.
Overall delay.
Right, overall, and then just highlight the ones that have that's the top 10 or so. Okay.
I do want to echo though Bob's thoughts, not just regarding 405-170, but I'm also looking at 405-101 and wondering why it doesn't have a red dot there for an AM bottleneck. And then I'm also looking further up the north, the 514 and the 4055, how that's not identified either. I'd be very interested in how, I understand that it's a top 10, I guess, but I would like to see the actual, one
data. This is when we got this was generated back in around October, maybe around summer-ish last year, and they based it on the 2010 data. For some, there's a little bit of a lag time, for them to be able to analyze really what's happening. And I have to qualify that this data is not final.
Okay.
Yet. So when they do have the final report, we'll certainly be happy to share with everyone.
So the modeling goes into this. I know that SCAG has a modeling task force that I have attempted to participate in, but some of their things are a little esoteric for the common person. But having said that, there are quantities of traffic, and I know you have to narrow this down to a map so we can look at it and say, okay, these are where the problems exist, but there are additional things that maybe we would want to consider.
Absolutely.
As far as how some of this is measured.
Absolutely. So, And then this is just to tell everybody, everybody already knows, there's always more needs than the money available, and then they're never early enough. It's never enough, never soon enough. So we have to be strategic, and because it's a common thing everywhere. So what they did was they looked at various sub-regions in totality as an overall system. Not to look at each specific corridor in isolation, but more to look at the network and the system. So if you look at this part, to the wife. What we identify as the roadway network system then is the freeway plus the state highways, conventional highways, plus the primary and secondary arterial roads that are within 1 mile. And I'll explain why that is important. And then look at that, and then look at it, and then trying to develop a strategy that is performance-based, that, you know, that is a system performance, not an isolated spot performance. So next slide. So it's a system-based performance strategy plan that they're trying to develop, and they have four major guiding principles. The first one is, obviously, it has to comply with measure our ordinance, because they're developing a plan so that the projects that are developed can utilize the measure our sub-funds. So it has to comply with the measure ordinance and also the subsequent board guidance, which specifically defined that the corridor is within 1 mile of the state highway system. That is the reason why I stated that, you know, it's 1 mile limit, primary and secondary. The second criteria is that it has to be safe, efficient network system. So they want to recognize that it is important to have a safe and efficient network. The third one is that they wanted to develop a strategy. So at the end of the day, they know that after they spend the $1 billion of measure dollars, they would know what is their benefit in return. Okay, and then they set a strategic goal that, well, you know, we want 20% of delay reduction by the time that we're all done with all these projects. So that's actually a very interesting strategic goal. They said that we want to look at it at a system perspective. We don't want to say, oh, just this corridor, you know, we just fix this corridor and we're kind of blind to the rest. There's really system perspective. Bob, you had a question?
No.
Oh, okay. Lastly, they want to make sure that there's performance loop to continue to feed back to this assumption and further functioning of the one set. So those are the four guiding principles to guide them, to set the framework, and guide them to the development process to further, you know, further define the details. And then I want to show you just sort of where they're at right now. This is where the, you know, where it's very interesting, is that the end of the strategic transportation definition element, the strategic plan element, this effort, what they have defined is that, okay, within the system, we know that we can't, it's not strategic to do everything all at once. It's not realistic. We don't have the money to do it either. And then the market cannot afford it. So then, what would be the logical sequence of events so that the public can receive benefits as we spend money? So they see benefits, they see, you know, as the money, as work is being done, rather than have a wait until 30 years where everything is done and say, oh, yeah, now we're, you know, got a traffic relief. So what they have developed then is that they look at, you know, they look at some potential, they look at the problem, look at the potential solutions, and then look at potential ways of sequencing them so the benefits can be realized along the way. I think that's really exciting to me.
There's a lot to be excited about.
Yeah. And then the next example I'm going to show you is gateway cities. They are also beginning efforts with strategic, what they call it, a strategic transportation plan. And this is the gateway cities boundary. You know, they have the I-5, 710, the 91, the 105. You name it. They're the gateway. Yeah. So, and then in their strategic plan, the elements that are within their consideration is, again, they want to look at is the sub-region as a network system. Secondly, goods movement, because they're running through ports, it's really important to them. Environmental factors, you know, air quality, health issues, that's important to that sort of thing. ITS technologies, zero emission vehicles, and then they want to look at the overall funding constraints and opportunities as well. And then we're also want to look at the active system master plan, the active transportation system, technologies and class. So they are going to consider all these elements as important factors to develop that strategic plan. And then that will become the basis for them to develop the implementation plan. So we have that strategic plan, setting the framework, setting the boundaries, setting the approach. Then you start to progressively elaborate and develop what specific projects may fit into that plan, and then, you know, what are the timing costs and everything else. So it's progressively developing. Okay. Now, next slide. How would it apply to your car? Okay. So, I'm just trying to kind of look at it graphically. First thing is to define the framework. Define the vision. What is that vision? And then what is the framework that you want to put around to develop your plan? Because each of these could be different, right? You have different characteristics, different goals, different problems. So having a clear vision that everybody tries to achieve, that's very important. And we developed a framework, and I kind of just put some of the larger topics. Who needs to be involved? Who's probably involved? You know, who needs to sit on the table? Okay? And then what are the strategic objectives and goals of the sub-region? What are the guiding principles? What are the prioritizing approaches? You know, you may not be able to get as far down as to specific criteria, but what would be the approaches? And then also, how you want to measure performance. That's critical, right? Okay, how do you declare success? How do you know that you've done something that matters, right? So once that framework is defined, then start to elaborate and define the details. So that's where, when you look at list of projects, such as the ones from the mobility matrix, and then you look at the costs that could be associated with some of the proposals. What are the constraints, maybe larger environmental, economic, whatever other constraints, and then, what are some of the opportunities. You look at all of that together and then start to define the details. And then, the scope that we've been working with Scott and Peter is primarily this first part. Here we just got first part. So once you get that first part, that framework defined first, then you say, okay, out of that part, how we're going to segment it and progressively elaborate and further define it. So, you may never know. Maybe at the end of the day, you might, part of your strategic objective might be going to the state, I don't know, building a fish tunnel, whatever it is. But that's the first step. So that's really the essence of what we're working on. So we try to help us to kind of get started. Next step is done. So after that step is done, then you could develop more detailed strategic plans, and then develop an implementation plan, and then start kind of execute plan. But then there's going to be a little bit of, this is a very, very simplistic way of showing it, but then there's going to be some integration as to what are some of the funding time frame opportunities, and then when are, how what would be the process to do it, the feedback, and refine. So that's just a very simple way to represent it. And that's basically it. And the final, I just kind of leave this more zoomed in picture of something on the Valley card and the discussion. So, have a good evening.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Comments?
Maybe we should introduce.
Yeah, let's do for the people that just walked in a few minutes ago, introduce themselves, please.
Lee Berlin, and Herman with Metcom. Desiree 1411 with Metcom.
And David Yale with Metcom.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I should mention that David is the one who was identified to us as the one who connects the dollars to the project.
Yes.
So it's great to have you here.
Excellent that you're here. Thank you very much. It's been very nice to be here. Did you bring any dollars with you?
He brought a dog here. Well, absolutely. That's part of what we'd like to talk about, by integrating that adoption from yesterday as to how do we move forward, how does this cause move forward and make it happen.
And we've also heard about input from people like the biker.
Well, other things that they'd like to add to it, but we won't push our luck today.
The comment is, I definitely see value in this. On behalf of the supervisor, I know you see what you see value in this. The motion adopted by the COG Board of Directors in March and the subsequent Metro Board, as he stressed over and over again, it's just the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to give us some boundaries in which some specific projects to address to work within this framework. So I'll just kind of leave it at that.
Any questions about the presentation? Okay, well, now, I mean, obviously, like you said, we're in the infancy stages. We've got several other causes that we can work on. And I've been very vocal about, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Those causes have been around since 1994, 1996. Let's take the good, what they've done good, and just put them in train, implement them in our club. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. It's nothing new. It's been going on for years. That apparently some people are still pushing back, that we have to have the perfect cause before we succeed. What is that? Perfect is damn near good, right? We've heard that all the time.
And again, just as a guy that you think of all this, that's probably going to...
There is still concern for my amendment here, and I know we've expressed this to Bob, but we don't want to see the point. I appreciate the staff and the supervisor appreciate the fact that Metro will be paying for it, but we don't want to see a situation where Metro is pulling the cart. We want the cart to pull the cart. We express to Metro that the priorities aren't what we want, not vice versa. So we don't want to see that flip-flop, and that is only an issue supervisor right now.
Let me add to that, too, that what started some of the conversation about the 101 was a call from the congressman's office being told that the reason why certain improvements weren't done on the 101 was because we didn't ask for it, whatever that meant. And so I think part of what the call can do is ask for it or say this is what we want for our region, and following on your lead is the idea that we take this forward. And David, maybe you can weigh in. I see you have a PowerPoint here you might want to cover it with us. But one of the things we need to deal with on April the 11th is to understand the machinations of how we're coming up with another version, if you will, acceleration plan, similar to Measure J, but using some other devices and some other processes. That's saying that we may not see another Measure J, but we may again see another Measure J and have another. But meanwhile, we have a plan that involves Prop A and Prop C dollars and some other moving around of accounts, which can be done. And David is, I'm told, is the maestro of moving around the accounts. So he may be able to, I don't want to get him in trouble, I know.
Yeah, you're getting pretty close.
He may be the one who can tell us how this works. And frankly, the acceleration plan, to me, from what I saw, this looked like it, a workable plan, and our board wants to weigh in meaningfully on it, I think, on April the 11th. So hopefully we'll have some sort of recommendation for that. How we move our third decade project into the first, the 30-10 done a different way.
Real quick before we go there, is there any other comments that you'd like to make? There's no questions, obviously.